Hi again, and welcome to episode 152 of the Emrens Podcast. Today is Monday, April 6, 2009. On today's episode, I'm going to tell you about quality of life. And what I mean by that is, specifically, the results of a government survey that basically looked at that question, how people feel. And I'm also going to tell you about, briefly anyway, about a subject that is a bit unusual for me, but that's later on. First, I want to tell you what's coming up with the podcast schedule, and a couple other bits and pieces before getting into the main topic. This is a short week because Friday is Good Friday, and that's a public holiday in New Zealand. And Monday, Easter Monday, is another public holiday, so it's a four-day holiday weekend. And that means that this week and next week are both short weeks. So I'm podcasting today, Monday, and I know for sure that I'll be podcasting again on Wednesday with Jason. It will be a Too Political podcast on Wednesday. And by the way, these are all New Zealand times. And speaking, to digress for just a moment, speaking of New Zealand time, I've placed a widget on both aaronspodcast.com and my blog, aaronsblogspot.com, which gives you the current time in New Zealand. So if at any time you're wondering, I wonder what time it is in New Zealand, you've got an easy and simple way to find out. Anyway, I am planning definitely on two podcasts this week, and there may be a third toward the end of the week. I may actually record it in advance and post it on Friday, but we'll see how we go. Part of my hesitation is that I still want to do the episode on the governance of Auckland, hopefully this week, but I'm holding off a bit because the cabinet in Wellington, the Prime Minister and his ministers, are due to be taking up the report of the Royal Commission, and they may report back in the next day or two. And so I'm kind of holding off in hopes that maybe they will, because that what they decide to do with it will probably determine what ends up happening, more or less. And it makes more sense in some ways to kind of wait for that if I can. So we'll see how we go. However, next week, Nigel is off work. He's taking the week off. And I will probably not be podcasting at all next week. And I'll be back the week after that. And so as it stands right now, there are definitely two podcasts this week, this one and Too Political on midweek. Possibly three, probably none next week, and back to normal the week after that. So that's the plan. Now, this weekend that we just passed was a very big one in some ways. Well, in a lot of ways. Saturday was our puppy Jake's second birthday. So he's now 2 years old. 2 years and 2 days now. Anyway, he seemed to enjoy himself. He got lots of extra cuddles, as you might imagine. And He came to our lives in a pretty dark time. It was right after my previous dog, Sive, had died, and actually it was before we knew that our cat, Curzon, was sick. But, of course, he died not long after that. And so he has really brightened up our lives considerably, and we are so very grateful that he's come to live with us. Sunday was another anniversary of a sort. It turns out that Sunday, April 5th, was the 50th anniversary of my baptism. Now, obviously, I don't remember that. I was a bit young at the time. But it was also the 28th anniversary of the first time I ever went to a gay bar in Carbondale, Illinois. And now you might wonder, how on earth do you remember that? And it's, I blogged about this, actually, if you really want to read the details. But in the early 1980s, just a couple years after that first trip to a bar, I ran across my baptismal certificate and saw the date, because I never knew what the date was before. And I knew that it was the 5th of April. And it was kind of freaky that it was 22 years later to the day, the first time I ever went to a gay bar. And of course now it's the anniversary was again 50 years later and 28 years later to the day. So it was kind of freaky in itself. But today I'm going to talk about this quality of life. And what that refers to basically is that every 2 years the Ministry of Social Development conducts a survey of New Zealanders, essentially to get a sense of how they feel about where they live, about the particular communities, about things like healthcare, how often they exercise, how safe they feel, all kinds of different things. And the new one has just been released, and you can probably find it from several different sources, including the ministry itself. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to excerpt from an article that was in the New Zealand Herald, and I will put a link in the show notes. Because I think that some of the things that they say are really, really pretty interesting. The lead sentence says New Zealanders are relatively content with their lives, with most saying they are in good health, can afford everyday needs, and feel safe in their homes after dark. So that's the gist of what the survey found. The ministry surveyed 500 people in each of 12 cities and districts, 12 of the biggest ones, and 2,000 people from the rest of the country. And they call it the National Quality of Life Survey. And, you know, I think one of the most astounding things to me is that they found that just over 9 out of 10 people rated their quality of life as good or better. So, you know, that's a pretty high satisfaction rate, I would say, really. They also found that the people who were the proudest of their city lived in Wellington, with 82% of the respondents feeling a sense of pride. Manukau, which is South Auckland, had 43% pride, and Auckland City had 51%. So they were the least proud. And both of those, of course, are part of this proposed super city for Auckland. Manukau is quite a poor city with a lot of Māori, and especially Pacific Islanders. So the economic conditions may have something to do with that, I think. Wellington, by the way, is the world's southernmost national capital. I've mentioned that before, but new listeners may not have heard me say that. I just think it's another fun fact to know and tell. But also, and I've talked about this on previous podcasts as well, they found that people in cities were more likely to be happy about the arrival of people from other cultures because they make them feel that it makes it diverse and exciting. And I've said that in the past as well. But on the downside of that is that the presence of people from these other cultures can make people feel unsure, or it can lead to some conflicts. But overall, it tends to be a good thing for cities. Whereas out in the more rural areas or smaller towns, they may not be so welcoming of people from other cultures. It's not so much a racial thing as such, except that people, especially Asians, can be clearly identified both by their features and their inability to speak English like a native. They found that people who were outside of these 12 cities were more likely to feel connected to their communities than people in the cities. And it says 65% said they felt a sense of community in their neighborhood compared with 54% in the cities. Well, that kind of figures. I mean, that's true in, I think, most of the Western world, that people in smaller towns tend to feel more connected to their town than people in big cities, which, you know, they might be part of this large area. So, I could completely understand what people were thinking of that. But here's some of the snapshot statistics they found. 92% of the people rated their quality of life good or better. 59% of the residents of the cities felt that people from different cultures made their city a better place to live, which is what I was talking about a bit earlier. 87% from the 12 cities rated their overall health as good or better. This is as opposed to 2 years ago. 49% of the people in the 12 cities were physically active, compared with 57% out of the main cities. However, the last 2 years ago when the survey was taken, 56% of people in the cities said that they were active 5 days or more a week. So people in the cities have become more sedentary over the past 2 years, and I have no idea why. 96% of people in the cities felt safe in their homes during the day, and 93% felt safe after dark. Well, I personally don't know anybody who feels unsafe in their homes during the day or at night. But I mean, I suppose there must be some people. Because here, as in other places, the media makes a big deal out of crimes when they happen. And part of it is because they're relatively rare, and so they make the evening news bulletin. And I've talked about that before. The crime overall isn't as big a deal as some people seem to think it is, as big a problem as some people seem to think it is. But, I mean, that's not uncommon in other Western countries either. They also ranked the 12 cities according to how according to who thinks they've got the best quality of life, essentially. And the top rated was Wellington at 94.9%. And I'll skip down a bit. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Fifth place was North Shore City at 92.3%. That's where we live. Next was Auckland City at 91.7%. Waitakere City, which is West Auckland, was 91.2%. Manukau was at 89.4%. It was rated 12th out of 12 cities in terms of feeling that they've got the best quality of life, which I thought was fascinating. And the New Zealand average was 92.3%. So basically, there's not a whole lot in the spread there between them. They don't deviate all that much from the New Zealand average. So I thought that was kind of interesting that basically most people think that they've got a good quality of life wherever they live. A pretty high number of people think they've got a good quality of life regardless of where they live. Now, for a completely different topic, and this is going to be quite a short one, this was originally suggested in a roundabout way when I was part of an Archer radio group show. And it was suggested, and Archer mentioned this in his phone message, his infamous phone message on the anniversary episode, that I talk about prostitution in New Zealand. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail, partly because I don't actually know that much about it. I used to work for a newspaper company that published a paper where most of the sex workers advertised. So it was quite interesting, to say the least. They also published a newspaper for the horse racing industry, and or you know, people who bet on horse racing. And so those were the bulk of our ads. They had to do with the horse racing publication or the paper that had all the sex ads in it. And so I used to say that most of what we did were ads for whores and horses. And I said what they were actually quite similar, because in one, people made their living on the backs of animals, and the other, people made their living on their backs. Be that as it may. Prostitution, when I arrived in New Zealand, was illegal, except it was only illegal for the sex worker. The sex worker was forbidden to ask for money or goods or services or what have you in exchange for their work. It wasn't illegal to solicit for sex, however. And so what was happening is the prostitutes would be prosecuted, but their johns wouldn't be, their customers would not be. That's changed now. And the lead driver of that was a former MP by the name of Tim Barnett, who was the Labour MP for Christchurch Central. And he was the, and I've said this before, and you have to sort of follow along with this, he was the first openly gay person elected to a first term in a national parliament anywhere in the world. There have since been others who've been elected, including the Congress of the U.S., but he was the first. And he's now left parliament, he's left politics, and he's taken a job dealing with the United Nations in Africa, primarily trying to stem the spread of AIDS. But anyway, he was pushing this reform, this decriminalization of prostitution, because he saw, rightly, that the criminalization made it impossible to get safe sex messages to the prostitutes. Because, for instance, if most the brothels were all called massage parlors, and you go in there and have a massage, in quote marks, if they had condoms available there, they were soliciting for prostitution, and it was a crime. So it made it very difficult to promote safe sex in these environments. Also, it led to the victimization of women in particular, because most of the prostitutes in New Zealand, as elsewhere, are women. And it made it difficult for them to have any sort of, I don't know, workers' rights recognized, I guess you'd say. So they moved to decriminalize it, and that has had a huge effect. Now, there were certain provisions that were also built into the law. It made it specifically illegal for anyone under the age of 18 to be a sex worker, and it made it specifically illegal for anyone in New Zealand on a temporary permit to work as a sex worker. So the idea behind that was to prevent pimps from bringing in mostly Thai women to act as prostitutes. That was forbidden, and only citizens and permanent residents can engage in the sex trade if they so desire. The overall effect has been, as near as I can tell, that the whole industry has sort of classed up a bit, if you can imagine that, in the sense that the premises are more open now, they're cleaner, they're regulated. Authorities go through there from time to time to check up on them, make sure they don't have any illegals and things like that. So it tends to be much more above board than it used to be. Well, I suppose that figures, because they don't have to pretend they're anything other than a brothel now. There also was a provision to allow independent sex workers to work out of their own homes. And I think they can have up to two women, or two people, I should say, working out of a home in a residential area. And that's been a real bone of contention in various communities, especially the more conservative ones who don't want any sex workers. And it's one that hasn't quite been sorted out yet. I know I certainly have mixed feelings about that, because, you know, there's increased traffic. Some of these people maybe who are coming in as customers may be rather unsavory people. But the fact of the matter is that if anybody around here, around the area where we live, was engaging in was a sex worker, I'd never know because, I mean, it's not like they have big neon signs with boobies on it or anything. It's really quite, tasteful, I don't know. Well, no, it's more anonymous, actually, because private homes don't have signs on them for businesses, certainly not of that sort. In fact, they might even be forbidden for all I know. But there was a sort of an amusing thing that happened in Queenstown, which is in the South Island. It's especially a winter tourist destination, but it's a beautiful part of the country down there. They had a massage parlor that was on one of the main streets in a storefront, and the local council wanted to get it out of there because they thought they wanted a higher class sort of downtown. So when the lease was up, the massage parlor had to move out, and it was replaced by a Pentecostal church, which I thought was hilarious. But other towns have tried to use zoning as well to try to control the sex trade. But by and large, the law seems to be functioning as intended, and it seems to be functioning pretty well. And that's pretty much all I know about it. Now I'm going to go over comments, and first I'm going to back up to episode 150, where Tom the Ramble Red had left a message. He said, "I forgot to put in my comment for this episode that I loved what you had to say at the very end of the show. Sure, you would like to have millions listening and commenting on your show, but the bottom line is that if you make one connection or make one person think about something you said and it had an impact, then that is all that matters. We all have our reasons for doing our shows, but often the people, no matter where they come from, are really special and help make this process, at least for me, something that I will never forget. Joe and I will always have a special memory of being able to meet you, and thank you for your friendship." And I said, "I completely agree with you, Tom, about everything you said." And I should say that Tom has left some comments recently in some older episodes, which I'm not going to go over now, but you're welcome to go to the site, aaronspodcast.com. And while you're checking the time in New Zealand, you can go down and have a read of some of those. But Tom has been, as I've said before several times, Tom has been a great friend to me, and he is still the only podcaster I've ever met in real life. And now for episode 151, Archer was first, and he said, "Ha, very funny using the clip from my show. Loved it. Still so sorry I messed up on the country. I do hope you forgive me." And I said, "Of course I forgive you. I think." And next was Faith, Rhonda, who has a fairly long comment, and I'm not going to read all of it, but the first paragraph says, "Hi, Arthur. I heard you speaking about cigarettes and the changes they are undergoing in New Zealand. Do you know about the e-cigarette? It's an electronic cigarette that uses a cartridge filled with juice that contains varying amounts of nicotine. Basically, it's a propylene glycol suspension that contains the nicotine as well as flavorings. The only study done in the world so far was done in New Zealand," which I did not know. The devices were found to be safe, and she provides a link and then talks about them a bit. She concludes with, "Keep the information flowing. I am in the last stages of getting my Australian citizenship by conferral. My mum was an Aussie. Right, so I can get an Aussie passport and just be the hell away from here with my husband in tow. Rhonda." Thank you very much for that, Rhonda. It was actually very interesting, and do stop by the website, everyone, and check it out. It's good to know what these things are and what people are talking about. In my reply, I was a bit of a smartass talking about the relatives of the tobacco plant. And I added that, no, I didn't know that. I looked it up because, as you know, I had good teachers. But that is it for today, everybody. I will be back on Wednesday with a Two Political Podcast with Jason and possibly one more this week and probably none next week. So that's the schedule from now. And also recently, I switched to mono for these podcasts. They were stereo before. Makes the file sizes a little bit smaller. So I haven't detected any decrease in quality of the episodes, but if you have, please let me know, because I certainly don't want to degrade the audio quality in any manner, shape, or form. I may still experiment a bit with the audio settings, but I'll let you know if I do. Thanks for listening. Talk to you soon. Bye. You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Aaron's Podcast at aaronspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at aaronspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.